Very well, a story. Once upon a time, oh, by the way, children, do you know who probably was the very first storyteller to ever say once upon a time?
Who?
Aesop.
Who?
Aesop.
Spell it.
Well, A-E-S-O-P.
That's not a name.
Oh, I know, it was Aesop's name. And he told many stories, and all of his stories started with once upon a time and ended with a lesson.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah, but they are, though, some of them. And some of them are very sad.
Oh.
Yeah, and some of them are kind of scary. But from all of them, we learned something important to know. Aesop, spelled A-E-S-O-P, was a very wise man.
Tell us why.
Very well. Once there was a farmer, a very poor farmer. He lived way out in the country on a very small farm. He lived alone, and no matter how hard he worked his farm, he never could quite make a living, and a lot of the time he was actually hungry. He didn't have any livestock on his farm, like a horse to help with the plowing, or a cow to give milk to drink. The only other living creature to share the farmer's loneliness was a goose, a very thoughtless goose. Half the time it didn't even lay an egg for its poor farmer's dinner. And many a time the farmer went hungry to bed because the goose was such a lazy goose. One day, as the farmer was leaving the goose's empty nest, the goose looked after him. "Well, he looks so sad," thought the goose, "and so lonely. I never noticed before, and it's all my fault. I have been a thoughtless creature. Tomorrow I'll make amends. I'll lay him a nice fresh egg. Oh, he'll be so surprised and so pleased." The goose felt better. "I'll do more than that," she thought excitedly. "I'll not just lay an ordinary egg, which can't be good enough for such a kind and patient man. I'll lay a golden egg. Won't that be a surprise?" Well, the goose was so excited, she could hardly get to sleep that night. And when finally she did doze fitfully, she dreamed of the morrow and the wonderful plan she had hatched. The next day, the farmer came as usual to the nest, not very hopefully, so his surprise was doubly great when he found in the nest, shining in the sunshine, an egg of gold. At first, of course, he thought he must be dreaming, but he held it in his hands and stared. A golden egg. How could anything so fabulous happen to him? He wept for joy. And this made the goose feel good all over. What a change. And the same thing happened the next day. When the farmer went to the nest for his egg, another golden one. The farmer now was rich. He could buy all the food he needed. He was now rich and well-fed and not lonely anymore. So many newfound friends. Every day the goose laid a golden egg. And every day the farmer changed a little. As he grew richer, he also grew greedier. And one day the thought passed his mind, "Why doesn't that silly goose lay two golden eggs a day?" All the farmer thought about now was his goose, his very lazy, thoughtless goose, who only laid him one golden egg a day. He hung around the nest more and more. He began to abuse his goose, to threaten her even. "I know you must be full of golden eggs. You are my goose, and therefore they are my eggs." And the more he thought about his golden riches, the more obsessed he became with the idea of having many, many golden eggs. And then he thought, "I have only to cut her open and take all the golden eggs." And he ran to the butcher shop for a knife. The goose, of course, knew that from the day she laid that first golden egg, things had been different. She had only tried to be helpful. "Tomorrow I'll go back to regular eggs," she thought. "Or if he's going to be this mean, scolding me and all, I'll just maybe go back to not laying any eggs." The farmer ran back to the nest. He had a big butcher knife. The goose looked at him. She was afraid. She was all over goosebumps. He wouldn't dare, she hoped hopefully. He wouldn't kill the goose that laid the golden eggs. But as we know, she was a pretty stupid goose, and she was a wrong goose, too, because He did. The minute he had done it, though, he realized what he had done. Oh, dear, he cried miserably, because he was a miserable man. Now, I have nothing at all. Moral, the greedy who want more lose all. Somebody start me.
Once upon a time,
there lived
a giant flea who...
Oh, no, 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 please. No fleas, please. This is about cheese. The crow and the cheese. Once upon a time, there lived a big, black, beautiful crow with long, shiny wings. She had a strong, sharp bill, and she loved nothing more than to have a piece of cheese in her bill, ready for eating. Early each morning, she was up with the birds and out searching for this favorite delicacy. She looked very beautiful against the sky, wheeling and swooping, her beady eyes alert, scanning the countryside. Now, there also lived in the same region a fox. Now, this fox happened also to be especially fond of cheese, and every day he went searching, but somehow he didn't come back with cheese nearly as often as the crow did. He would return to his lair.
What's a lair?
A fox's house.
Oh!
Now, where was I? Start me, Bobby.
Once upon a time...
You were past that.
Oh.
You were at the fox's house.
Oh, yes. Well, he would return to his lair at dusk, footsore and with his fur all full of brambles, but with no cheese, and his mouth just watering for a nice, creamy, yellow piece of succulent cheese. He would be particularly vexed when he would see the crow returning to roost, a piece of cheese clamped firmly in its beak. Ooh, he would cry in frustration and beat his poor, sore paws on the ground, which made him cry even more.
Then why did he do it?
Because he was frustrated.
What's frustrated?
A fox's house.
No, no. Frustrated is what I will be if you do not stop interrupting, please. Now, one night, he was particularly hungry, and the crow flew over right on schedule. There goes the cheese express, he thought bitterly. And then he thought some more. He thought, I'm smarter than that crow. I should be able to get twice the amount of cheese. And he kept on thinking, and I'll do it the easy way, and it won't be so hard on my feet either. And then he went to sleep, and he slept all night and all the next day. And he woke up just about dusk, feeling very rested and very pleased with himself.
And very hungry, I bet.
Yeah, I bet he was hungry. He had thought of a plan, see. He watched the sky. Do you know what he was looking for?
The cheese express.
Exactly, the cheese express. Right on schedule, the crow flew over with an extra large piece of cheese, it seemed, to the fox. The fox stood up. Oh, good evening to you, Mistress Crow, he called. The crow stopped in flight and looked down.
How?
She treaded air. She was surprised that the fox had even noticed her. She nodded. She couldn't speak, of course.
Because she had the cheese in her beak.
Yes. Such lovely flying weather, the fox continued. The crow nodded again. And you fly so beautifully. The crow smiled and dipped her wings gracefully several times. The fox knew he was on the right track. Your wings are only surpassed in beauty by your sharp, artistic claws. Well, the crow threw back her head and executed several pirouettes and came to rest on point. Hardly moving her wings at all, she was very pleased, being at heart a vain creature, and she was falling for all that fox's sweet talk. As her friend the trout could have told her, hook, line, and sinker. The fox's mouth was watering so for that cheese that when he spoke again, he sounded all blubbery. The crow thought he was merely being overcome with her pristine beauty.
What kind?
What kind of beauty? Mm-hmm. Beautiful beauty. She smiled a wider smile. The fox noticed that the cheese loosened a little in her grasp. But, cried the fox, I hear that surpassing everything is the beauty of your voice. Well, the crow was a little taken aback at this, having thought that her voice, like all crows, was a bit on the raucous side. But vanity, vanity. She chose to believe what the fox was saying was true. Now the fox was up on his hind legs, almost beside himself. He was dancing around and drooling all over his chest. Please, Mistress Crow, make me the happiest creature in the forest. Sing for me. Well, the crow blinked. Sing, she thought. But of course. She opened her mouth, and out came the most ear-hurting caw of a sound, and also out came what?
The cheese!
That's right. And the fox caught it and swallowed it so fast that he almost didn't even taste it. The crow, of course, was stunned. Now then, we should all know the moral of this story.
Don't sing with your mouth full.
Good, but Aesop sort of had another one in mind. If you don't mind, Aesop thought, flatterers are not to be trusted. This is the story of the hare and the hound. Well, look, suppose you help me and we'll all tell it, huh? Fine. Now, of course, the important part is the part of the hare. I'll play that.
I'll bet it's the best part.
Now, the part of the hare sounds like this. Now, there's the part of the hound. Ray, you be the hound.
I want to be the hound.
No, you be the mother hound. Then there's an old goat. Who wants to be the old goat?
How old?
Oh, 6 or 7.
I'll be it.
Thank you. Now you all know your part, huh?
Yes.
Good. Once upon a time, there was a hound dog. Please, wait for your music. Oh. Once upon a time, there was a hound dog, a hunting hound dog, a lazy hunting hound dog. He was known more for his laziness than for his hunting. Morning after morning, it was the same thing. He wouldn't get up. Morning after morning, his mother would say, get up, get up. Morning after morning, he would just smile sleepily, turn over, go back to sleep.
Get up, get up. If you want any breakfast, you'll have to go fend for yourself this morning.
What's fend?
He was awake now.
Go catch your own rabbit.
The hound went out into the late morning air. The sun was bright. He squinted. He shook himself and mumbled.
Well, I might as well fend.
And he started at a nice easy gait toward the rabbit thicket. As he drew near, he could hear laughter and fast rabbit talk. The hares were relaxing. Who would come looking for breakfast at this time of day? Then the hound was upon them. A young hare happened to look up. Yip! It squealed. And then the hare darted away across the meadow.
Now I'll have to give chase, I suppose.
And away he went after the fleeing hare. He was halfway across the meadow. The hare seemed to be getting farther and farther away. The hound put on more speed. The hare did likewise.
I don't care too much for this fending.
When he got to the edge of the meadow, the hare was nowhere to be seen.
Woo!
Fooled the hound. An old goat who was eating his lunch nearby came over. He had watched the whole scene.
A fine hunting dog you are. Aren't you ashamed? Letting a creature 1/6 your size make a monkey out of you.
Old goat,
he said.
After all, I was only running for my breakfast. That hare was running for his life.
The old goat wandered away. The hare was long since home. The noon sun was warm. The hound was asleep. The moral is, necessity is our strongest weapon.